You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
It is a Wednesday, which means it's time for World of Work. And many of you are struggling to get a job. We try to help out those who do not have jobs and also those who have jobs, but perhaps you are not able to make as much progress in your career as you would like to. And that is the purpose of this weekly feature. Today is no different. We're going to focus on two very practical things. I can't guarantee that you will get a job, but if you mess these things up, you certainly reduce your chances of doing well, whether it be for a job interview, a scholarship for that matter, an internship, or even maybe when you're asked to apply for an opportunity to be promoted if you are already working. And what am I referring to? I'm referring to interviews, how to approach them, the do's and the don'ts, and also the CV, what has happened to the CV and its place when it comes to looking for a job, for example. So if you've got questions about CVs, about interviews, please give us a call. Let's see what we can do you for on 011-883-0702 in Joburg and in Cape Town, 021-446-0567. Back with me in the studio from Transcend Talent Management, the managing director, who's looking stunning as always, Zanella Lufuno. I thought Zanella was looking stunning for me, but she's telling me no, it's actually the person I'm going to meet after you. Well, thanks. Thanks.
I like to keep it honest.
I had a clinical psychologist on Hayden Nibs. He's such a nice guy, Shane. We were talking about lying the other day. I'm not convinced that honesty is always the best policy.
Of course.
Should have
not.
Made me feel good. You missed the opportunity,
Zanella.
Selfish
people say to get away with selfish behavior. Like, I was just being honest with
the consideration
of the impact
That's
the
right.
information had on the receiver.
I've got an interest in both CVs and interviews. Where should we start with this conversation? Somewhere else, or shall we just deep dive into one of these two?
I think the CV leads to you being able to get an interview.
Okay.
So to start with a CV that's not done correctly, written correctly, will not get you the interview. To have a look at the CV.
Does the CV still matter in a time where you email me and I can quickly go and check you on Facebook and I regard that as me scrolling through your CV? How important is the CV now compared to, say, 20 years ago?
So the CV is important still, but not as important as it was 20 years ago. So the CV is only one aspect of what a prospective employer will look at when considering whether to interview somebody or not. But the other stuff, like your LinkedIn profile, for instance, or your Facebook habits, or what picture you have on your WhatsApp, all those things come at the stage where the client is actually considering employing you. Then they'll start to say, okay, you've met my technical requirements, my culture requirements, etc. And then they'll say, let me have a look at their Facebook profile picture. Oh yeah, no, that's a guy holding an AK-47. Sorry, he thinks not the right fit for our business. So yes, still very important in the initial stages. It's your marketing tool. It's how you're getting your foot in the door. But also to be mindful that it is accompanied by all the other stuff that you put up on social media.
In your experience with companies, do they really care about the aesthetics of a thing? Are there obvious do's and don'ts? Some people go to enormous length to make this thing look like a French painting.
So the aesthetics do matter. And you also need to know what your client's expectations are. Some clients want a one-page resume that has highlights of the things that you've done, and you need to be able to capture that in that one page. Some clients want an extended resume or CV that says, look, these are all the things I've done. These are examples of where I've excelled, I've achieved, and they want you to be able to go into detail around that. So you don't want to give a client who has an expectation of a 5-page document or 1-page document, and you don't want to give a client who has an expectation of a 1-page document a 5-page document. The other thing is the content and the information that you put there. Most people, when they write a CV, have one CV and they send it to 6 or 7 prospective employers without modifying it for the specific role, the culture, the organization that they're applying for, and that makes the world of difference. You've got to do that.
So even if you're trying to job hunt by applying to 20 different places, it is worth the time investment to not send generic CVs.
Absolutely. 20 jobs is 20 different versions of your CV. And I know that sounds tedious.
But if you're serious,
you've got to
do it.
That's the truth. Yeah, that's the truth.
Are there things that one should not put in? I mean, I'm now 39. Do companies care that I was head librarian at school?
Look, I think it depends. depends. And it really depends on individuals. So being head librarian at school is... would potentially,
the law doesn't care, does
it? Yes. Somebody could, it depends on the role. So somebody, if you're going into a knowledge management role at an executive level, they can say, wow, you've had an interest in knowledge from a very young age, and they want to see the golden thread throughout your career. So not always important, but if you want to go, for instance, into a leadership job, to have been a head prefect at school shows leadership. A pattern of leadership.
The reason I'm asking is, you know, that very often, like the last time we had really nice detailed CVs was by the end of matric, and we've done all this stuff in high school, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't want to give up on it, even though we heard Zanella on radio saying, tailor make this particular thing for your particular job specs that you are trying to respond to, and you've got some intel about what kind of CV length, et cetera, et cetera, this particular potential employer wants from me. I just think, like, no, man, I want them to know every single thing about my life. But they don't want to know the from cradle to grave story.
No, they want to know what will be impactful in the role that you're applying for. So your matric stuff, if you were head librarian and it's got nothing to do with what you're currently doing, leave it off. But I would always say, if you were like head prefect or a prefect in matric, it's one line on the CV. It won't kill you. Matric, XYZ school, head prefect. Great.
You know the obligatory hobbies? Reading?
We leave them out when we reform.
Please, can hobbies
CVs.
Fall?
Yes, hobbies must fall. There's an opportunity for you when you get into the interview to develop rapport with whoever's interviewing you, and to get into some of the stuff that you like to do and to discuss with the client. But as an agency, we reformat CVs that we're given before we send them to our clients, and we've never had a client asking us to include or incorporate the hobbies.
I mean, especially when they're on some reading, going to church.
Yes, reading. And that's exactly it. No. So no. We don't include your hobbies. Okay. you can keep them.
I don't know whether we can do this without spoiling your hair. Can you put on your headphones for me? Otherwise, there you go. Matt, good morning. How's it, Matt?
Good morning, serious. It's Matt here in Alex. Look, man, I don't know. My CV is 5 pages long, and I've been unemployed since the beginning of this year. But even if I have a degree in accounting, I've got experience in procurement, in finance, and as well as in auditing and tax. But, you know, I've been through just like 2 interviews, but for some reason, I just can't crack it. I'm just thinking, I think, your guest is quite insightful in that maybe my CV is very long. And
but let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do some real-time radio here and see if we can help you. I should have asked you to do this before. My apologies. I was so enthralled by Professor Makhoba, I forgot to throw forward to this conversation. Are you near an email by any chance?
Come again? Sorry?
Do you have access to email very quickly?
Yes, I do.
Send us your CV. Okay. And Zanella will give you feedback, and it will be instructive for many people. We'll just look at it.
Yeah, we can have a look at it.
I mean, we can't do it for everyone, but we'll take yours as an example.
The first thing I'm picking up is that you're naming multiple disciplines.
Yes.
And the first thing I would assume is that the CV is not tailored towards the information the client the employer requires for a specific job.
Yeah.
So if you're appearing to be able to do a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, they're not sure how specialized you are in what they need you to be able to do for their particular company.
Yeah.
And the trick about CVs is that you don't have to put every single thing in.
Yeah.
Tailor-make it very specifically for what it is that you are applying for.
Matt, do this for me. Email me and the producers will pick it up. em@702.co.za. You got that?
Much appreciated, man.
Okay, send it very quickly. Send it right now. We'll have a look at it in real time. And Zanella can give you her impressions of it. Angela, good morning.
Hi, guys. I have a very short comment. What I've found over the past few years is that people want you to send me your profile. Let's talk about your profile, right? And in my mind, I've always, you know, thought the important thing is to have this document called a CV and, you know, and have that all. But most of what people actually want to know is, okay, just, you know, is what's on your profile. So, I'd eventually put it together, et cetera, but I found that a lot of people use that until it gets to a stage where they want now the technical details and, you know, there is something actually available. Because many times, you know, you're sending your CV if you're sending it to, you know, an agency, that kind of thing. But if you're now talking and you're networking and you're interested in, you know, joining a company, et cetera, people don't kind of say, or maybe let me put it this way. People don't get into the nitty gritty and the detail at that time. And so now it's just become, well, in my life, it's just become so important to just, you know, to have this profile that you could just, you know, that'll sell you immediately.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I have a CV in the traditional forms, Anela. I also have something, I think this is what Angela's referring to. And I will just, and the answer is just ask what people want.
Yeah.
I have exactly. What I call a narrative bio.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes that's what people want, events companies in particular.
Yes, give me the highlights. So I sit with, hundreds of CVs at any given time. And I don't have 5 minutes to go through each and every single CV in detail. And if I'm taking less than 5 minutes to go through every single CV in detail, can you imagine what our clients are doing when we pass it on to the clients? So really, let it be succinct. Let the information be there. I need to, at a glance, be able to see who's this person, what can they do, how can they add value to my business, and what will the impact of bringing them into my business be? And I immediately put it to one side. When I can't work out what you've written there, it's already on one side, and I'll only get back to it if from the pile that I perused in 30 seconds per CV, sure, I can't find what I'm looking for.
19 minutes after 11.
You're CBS Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
21 minutes after 11 o'clock, we've been talking about CVs, and I hope that you find the tips useful. Some applause there. You know, whatever you say about, because I know that you actually love Cape Talk and 702. One of the reasons why you love this station is because for all our differences and getting each other's blood pressures up, we are incredibly community-minded, across the color line, by the way, and our differences geographically. So Matt, who called in just now, has been offered a job. And the gentleman that has offered him a job didn't even ask to be acknowledged. I want to acknowledge him, but I'm not going to, because that wasn't even the point of him offering a job. But, sir, thank you so much for listening to Matt's story and offering him a job. You are a wonderful citizen.
Absolutely.
Isn't that awesome?
Absolutely, yeah, awesome.
Really,
absolutely,
really, really, really cool.
Awesome.
Now, let's say my CV is on point. I get shortlisted. There's one job available. There's 10 people. The interview is going to be pretty, pretty important. What are some of the most important things to do? Obviously, you've got to be presentable, and we've got to talk about your dress code as well. I once very cheekily, which I don't think is necessarily advisable, went for a job at a management consulting firm with dreadlocks. And it's funny, I'm reading a book now where in American corporate culture in particular, especially for black people, there are all sorts of nonsense associated with particular kinds of look. You may resent that, but it might be the reality. And the woman was observing how on college campuses, she went to an historically black campus, how she found that by the time you get to the last year, you will see how the appearance changes of so many students in their final year of college, because the interview rounds are coming up. And so they start losing, for example, their dreads even.
Assimilation. That's unfortunately how corporate culture works. You have to fit into the culture of the organization that you're going to. So yes, there's a dress code, but it doesn't mean that everybody has to wear a suit. If you're going for an interview at a telco's company, you'll dress very differently to going for an interview in a bank. So I've had candidates that were phenomenal on paper lose a job because the client said, "We're telcos. He came in a shirt and a tie. We don't think he can fit into the culture."
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Even though he had phenomenal credentials to do the job. So it's important to know where you're going, what is the culture of the organization, and dress to fit the culture of where you're
right,
going.
I think that's right, Sanela. There's also another point next to that one. If your appearance is completely out of kilter with my corporate culture that I've developed as a CEO in my company, it also tells me something small that is actually important. You don't do homework.
Yes, absolutely. So that's why it sometimes helps if you've got an agent. So we would always, prior to going to an interview, we have the discussions around, have you done this type of homework? So please know what's happening in the organization. Have gone to their website. But not just that. Google, are they doing any major transactions? Is there any major strategic activity that's happening? Understand what's happening in the organization that you're going to interview for. And the next thing is, obviously, we've discussed the dress code.
Yeah, make sure your phone is off in an interview. That's very important, so that the interviewer can know that you are fully present, so that you don't fall off the chair as you then try and make sure that the sounds of pornography are quickly switched off. I love it to bits. I'm totally ungovernable. But that's part of the KPIs that I have to meet, is ungovernability. Unfortunately, Zanella, it's at your expense today while she sorts herself out. Let's take Nao. Nao, speak to us in the meantime.
Hi, guys. The first caller mentioned that, and if I heard him correctly, he said that he had been to at least two interviews from his CV. Yes. Now, my question is, how much of it is the CV at a point that you actually go to the interview? Because, you know, you get called in because the person that's looking at your CV is curious and perhaps, you know, pleased with what they see. But how much is it, you know, is it not the chemistry that's happening in the interview?
Oh, this is such a beautiful question, Nao. Such an important question. Zanella, I want to give you a couple more minutes here after this, because I think there's just so much here. We've got other callers here. Listen, I sit I've now for many years sat on various committees that assess people for scholarships to go to Oxford University. And there's so much here to be said about Nao's question about the relationship between the CV and the interview, right? Just one bit of advice from me and then over to Zanella. Please remember what you have said in your narrative bio. Please yes. do. Sometimes people are surprised when you yes. examine them on things they told you Absolutely. In their CV or in their little narrative write-up about themselves. And I'm like, how? But you took me back to 1987, so you were insincere in your written application.
Absolutely. So the CV is what gets your foot in the door. But the interview is its own exercise altogether. And there is no such thing as it's a coffee chat, it's just an off-the-books meet and greet. It is always
yes.
an interview.
Until you've made it in life, it's not just a coffee chat.
Yes, it is always an interview. And you always have to prepare for an interview. Interviewing itself is a skill. It is a technique. You need to know who are you going to go and meet with? What is the personality of the individual or individuals? Are they forthcoming with questions, or are you going to have to do most of the talking to try and create rapport? Going into an interview and you have an interviewer who doesn't have the skill to extract information and you end up not giving him the things he needs to hear because he failed to ask you the questions – unfortunately, is your baby. He's going to leave there. He's not going to have the information he needed from you.
That's
because
right.
he potentially didn't have the ability to extract the information.
Yes.
And yes. you're not going to get the
so
job.
So, Nella, sometimes people don't know whether it's okay to ask beforehand what the expectations are. In your experience, do HR look down on a candidate that is proactive and sends an email or picks up the phone and says, Zanella, I just wondered whether you can tell me how I must prepare for the interview with Mr. McKaiser?
Always ask what to expect in the interview. Is it a panel? Will there be a case study? Who are the individuals? Tell me a little bit about them. Always have that information prior to going sure. to an interview. Does he like you to go into detail, the interviewer, when he's asking you a question? Is he more of a high-level strategic individual? You need to know those things so Absolutely. That you can speak to whatever the expectation is.
Kiara Betts, where? Good morning.
Morning, Eusebius.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. What do you want to ask?
Thank you. So I'm fresh out of university. I finished in November last year. I've been applying since then. Mm-hmm. I did a BA at University of Pretoria, which really isn't very specialized itself. So I don't have anything really specific to put on my CV.
What did you major in, Karabetswe?
I did undergrad majors in criminology and psychology, and I'm currently doing psychology honors at Geneesa.
Okay. What did
so
you...
It's very difficult to sell myself on a CV because I don't have any experience at all.
Let's say, for example, I'm going to do some interaction with you for 1 minute, and then I want Zanella to comment on your response, right? Let's do a bit of role play. Let's imagine that I have a vacancy for a producer. You didn't study journalism. You've applied for me. Now I'm asking you, Gerabete, what did you study? What were your undergrad majors?
My undergrad majors were psychology and criminology.
Okay, but this is a media company. How's that going to help me? I'm glad you were confident enough to try and apply for this job, but I need an executive producer. You've listened to my show before. How does your studies help you to be my producer?
I think based on my experience in psychology, even though it's just undergraduate, I've learned how to really deal with people. I have very good interpersonal skills. I know how to adapt. So, yeah.
And then, perfect, but then you tie that into what you know about their business, right? So, I have great interpersonal skills, and I know how to adapt, and I've had a look at your organization, and I see that there are 2,000 people, different age demographics, and these are the complexities that it would take to, from a people perspective and an understanding perspective in order to drive strategy.
I believe
I can add value in this particular way given my understanding of your organization.
Beautiful, and that's exactly right. So Zanella is telling you, make sure that you tell me what use you can be for my goals. So you might say, for example, right?
My CV.
But remember, I don't really care how amazing your studies were. I want to know how my business will be enhanced if you come to work for me. And in that interview, you must tell me that. So, let me give you an example, right? Let's keep it practical, Gerabete. So you might say, for example, Eusebius, I listen to your show a lot. You're very different to Karima and Azania. You focus a lot on things like identity politics, racism, etc. And I really think I will be of good help as someone who understands the psychology of these things. I also know that you love talking about law and politics, blah, blah. You know what I mean? The first thing is that I want to know that you understand my business. And then I want to know how that connects with your qualifications. So you must be very strategic. You are worried about the fact that you don't have 1 day of practical experience, but you have transferable skills and you have knowledge that you have gained in your degree. Don't sell yourself short, because the combination of the core knowledge that you were taught until third year plus the technical skills that you have that are transferable into all sorts of industries, that should be the basis of what you want to get out of that interview.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you don't have to just look at your work experience, especially with graduates. So this is when it matters if you were a head librarian. So if you volunteer in your community, or if you anything that you do that gives insight into the type of person you are, if you play on a professional netball team or whatever it is, you start to pack those things in, and you can then start to look at graduate programs where they will say, oh wow, she was a prefect of school, she did a BA, she's done this, but she volunteers here.
Absolutely.
So she
what does it tell us about her?
What
she's
does
industrious.
It tell her? Yes.
She's
what
industrious, is, exactly. She's entrepreneurial, and you bring those
exactly.
stuff out.
Exactly.
Eusebius MacIsaac on 702. And Cape Talk.
World of Work, we're talking about CVs, and we now have moved on to talking about how to approach interviews. We'll come back. Don't worry, this is going to be an iterative conversation, because the amount of practical tips are plenty, and we want to empower you. And that's why we bring in awesome experts like Zanella Lufuno, who's here from Transcend Talent Management. So we're not going to get through all of your questions and stuff, but we'll come back to this topic because it really makes a massive difference what the do's and the don'ts are. I want to just pick up before I go to Randani's call on a different thing. I'm not sure how this works when it comes to, say, corporate jobs and stuff. So I'm speaking specifically to students who may apply, for example, for interviews related to scholarships. And I think some of those lessons will apply elsewhere in the world of work. Don't be scared if you experience what you think 10 minutes into the interview is a tough interview. In my 10 plus years of experience of being on committees that interview students, I have found, and many of my committee members over the years agree with me, that there is an anecdotal correlation between the kids who end up getting the scholarship and the ones who have tough interviews. And the reason behind it, I've tried to deconstruct. And sometimes if you put someone under pressure, you really go for Zanella, you want to test her values. Is she really the person that she is on paper? She may experience the interview as a tough interview. But the funny thing is that a so-called tough interview gives us an opportunity to observe your character and to see how you handle a bit of the heat.
Exactly.
It's not always personal, so don't take it personally.
Exactly.
The person who doesn't get that opportunity to reveal their character may actually be shortchanged by an interview that seems to be smooth sailing.
Exactly. And also, even if you perceive the questions to be difficult, it's a discussion. You're allowed to say, whew, that's a tough one. Okay.
Exactly.
Let me think.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
So it's not a test as in, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. It's a conversation. It's dialogue. So if they ask a question and you're like, wow, that's actually quite an interesting question. I haven't thought about that in a while. Give me 2 seconds. Laugh about it. So you're creating a rapport with the individuals and they'll say, look, she didn't have the answer to the question, but we love the way she managed that. That means she won't crack under the pressure. She's great for our culture, and we're interested in her. And they can even 100%. Come back and say, you know, she wasn't the best, technically speaking, but we, from the questions we asked and the way she handled the interview, we believe that she is agile, and we can, wherever the gap is, we can step
beautiful.
In.
Beautiful. Spot on. Rendani, good morning.
Morning, Tobias. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's your question?
My question is, how can I arrange the qualification on the CV? Example, maybe 2015, I did a diploma of a certain course, and then 2017, I did another one. How do I put it down? Should I start with the latest, or should I start with the first one?
Okay, yeah, what you're saying, okay.
Most recent qualification at the top? And then work it backwards. So this gives us a sense of where you're currently. Remember, a person spends about 30 seconds, 1 minute looking at a CV because they've got a pile of CVs on their desk. So very high level, I've got my MBA, then I did this, then I did this, then I did this, and then my short courses underneath. So they take the highest level where you currently are now, and everything else that's underneath is like almost assumed. So, okay, they're functioning at postgrad level, or
that
they're at a
sense.
PhD level, or whatever, you know, they've done a PhD or they've done a master's or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then they kind of like everything else is that is underneath is assumed to be there.
Yeah. Tsakane, good morning.
Morning, Mrs. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What's your question?
Assessment test. I feel like that's where I get stuck because I'm getting an interview and do all of these things, but then when I get to the assessment test, it's usually right.
Okay, hold on, Tsakane. The first thing we have to do to help you with your interviews is to help you find your voice.
Yes. So we are only partially hearing what you're saying.
I think there must be something wrong with my line. Can you hear me better right now?
That's
yes,
better?
Yes, and I hope you don't have a telephone interview when you apply for a job. But what is your concern? Is it about what? Which elements of an interview?
Assessment test. Like right after you do the interview and then you move over to the assessment test. That's where I usually get it wrong.
And what do you mean by that? You mean those psychometric type ones?
Yeah, those ones.
Yeah. So, are those still used routinely, Zanella?
They are, but it's a contest.
Because they used to be all the rage.
I
used to walk around the company where we're like, what are you? And you don't even have to fill out the question because the person wants you to say, oh, I'm an ENTP, eh? My E is off the charts. So it's just bizarre.
So yes, there are different batteries of assessments that a client can conduct in order to test. So they can test your numerical skills, your literacy, personality, or whatever it is that they feel is necessary.
As a tool for them.
For a particular job. The issues around assessments is that they have been under a lot of debate because they do tend to show some kind of cultural bias. So they measure what's considered a norm and a standard, and they are always cultural influences that affect my consideration of what a norm is. So
we have found that candidates of colour sometimes do battle in the assessments, but the clients do know that and they do make consideration for that. I'm not an assessment specialist here, but I have had many instances where the client says, this is what our global expectation is, but we do understand that there is a cultural bias, therefore we make this much room for that in terms of how we interpret the results.
Makes sense. Makes sense, yeah.
And the other thing around assessments also is that you hopefully find individuals that are not looking at them as an exclusion, a basis for exclusion, but to say, okay, where do we find gaps in a particular individual's? So the reporting becomes important because then it can tell a client, this person has these particular gaps, therefore, if you work with her in this particular way, you can then help bridge those gaps.
Look, the other thing is there's a limit to how much you should gain for these things, because we haven't yet spoken about the silent interview, which is me interviewing my interviewers, because there's got to be a fit both ways, by the way.
Absolutely.
If the company is not for you, then there's no reason for you to force it. And it's got to work for both parties. There are some industries where there are standard structured interviews. So you get tons and tons of literature how to prepare for case interviews if you're going to go to Bain or BCG, for example. But when it comes to psychometric stuff, I think it's best to just be, quite frankly, sincere. And also to understand
that's the other thing. People try to game
exactly,
the system.
They do.
And the problem with assessments is that it catches you out. So it'll ask you a set of questions, and further down it asks you different questions, and you don't realize they're testing for the same thing.
Exactly.
And you've given answers which were not necessarily your truth in that particular
100%.
Instance. 100%.
Yeah. Our last caller, Winston, good morning. What's your question?
Hi, good morning. What I wanted to say was that most of the times when you go to interview, the agent doesn't have all the information. They tell you you're meeting with a panel of two or three people. When you get there, it's four people. Or they tell you the background to the person you're meeting, what kind of person they are, what they like. When you get there, that person is not the person interviewing you. So when you get there, all your prep is all for nothing. And you get there, and then the interview is a different interview from the one you're prepared for. So,
yep, serves you right for not going with Transcend Talent
exactly.
Management.
That's what I was going to say. No, on a very serious note, find an agency that specializes in whatever your field, whatever your field is. So, if you're in marketing, find agencies that specialize in that particular sector of industry. But the second thing is also just be very specific about the agency that you use. The barrier to entry, unfortunately, is very low. So you need to find a reputable organization that will take the time to make sure that the prep is correct. But if the client switches information on the information on who's going to be on the panel, and doesn't let anybody know that they've switched it out from whatever it is that they said it would be, then my friend, you've got to just show agility in that moment.
So Nella, can we agree to do the same topics again, because there are many, many more questions.
Absolutely.
Katlego is a question that I wanted us to discuss for a good 5-10 minutes, actually, but I just want your quick answer for today. And again, there are interesting variations on how to approach this depending on the purpose of your application, Katlego. Katlego says, thanks for making this so practical, guys. When an interviewer asks, tell me about yourself, I grapple a bit with it because I feel the question is a bit too broad. How do I correctly answer this? Now, I'll give you some advice, and then Zanele. My experience sitting on panels is that when I assess students to give them scholarships, I happen to be wanting to give scholarships to people who have leadership, who have character, who've got a sense of where their careers might fit in once they come back from over the seas to come and give back to Southern Africa. So I want to know your life story. Yes. Snot and Trana are totally okay, but I'm not sure whether Deloitte wants to see that. So it depends on the purpose, right?
Yes, absolutely. So you need to know what you're going
in for. So what the role is. If there's no particular role, the culture of the organization, always it goes back to the preparation, guys. Yes, you're going to Deloitte. Sorry, I'm using the same example that you've given. So understand that they're a professional services firm. Take all the highlights and the information around your life that can speak to their culture, the things they do, that and speak about that. So you can, you know, hi, I'm a graduate. I studied.
But how personal do you get? So, for example, like, let's say Zanella's interviewing, and Zanella's like, please tell me, I want to understand you, CBS, how you deal with problems and challenges. Can you give me a practical example? And some people often grapple with how personal I get. So I go like,
please.
Last week I came out with to dad.
And yeah, please don't tell me about how, yes, we don't want to know about how difficult it was coming out to dad. It depends on the context. But unless you really know the people well, always go with safe options. And part of the preparation is having very specific things that you know that you want to talk about and that you are going to bring up. Tell me about yourself. I have a brother who's an accountant. That's how I fell in love with accounting as a discipline and why I'm sitting at Deloitte now.
Be mindful, what trait in yourself are you hoping to reveal with the story?
Absolutely.
The story must have a functional purpose.
Absolutely.
If a company is looking for a problem solver and you're telling us about your sad, sordid story of coming out to Zanella, your sister, the homophobe, then then don't just tell us the story because you're appealing to our heartstrings.
Absolutely.
Tell us what skill sets are revealed in the story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where the preparation comes in. Always know upfront when you're going into an interview, what are the key 5 to 10 things I must get across in this interview? They must know that I'm strong in leadership. This is how it is evidenced throughout my career. They must know that I am strong on handling difficult stakeholders. This is how I can evidence it. Have thought of the examples, blend them into stories, because they're not always going to outright ask you the question, but you know what they're testing for in a particular question. Have the examples on hand. Don't sit there and only start to think about what they're going to be then. Know offhand, these are the top 5 things that I have done, which are great achievements. This is why they're great. Find ways to bring them into the interview and also see how you can control the narrative to highlight your strengths.
Thank you, Zanella. We love you. Thanks for coming on.
Love you guys too.
Cheers.
Thank you for having me.
Have a beautiful day.
Thanks. Same to you.